Dr. Peter Choate. He works in Child Protection Services. And this is, Peter, your...
fourth visit to Oroville, yes. It's been each time the mother calls, and we seemed... I think the mother got me initially in 2007 when I was driving past this place and thought, we should go spend some time there. And then we kept extending the time and extending the time, and so there's something... I think I'm hooked here. So the work I've become involved in supporting the Child Protection Service here, which has been a real pleasure for me. I think one way in which I am able to give something back to Oroville for the multitudes of things that Oroville has given to my wife and I.
Okay, now you're working primarily with village children. What about the Orovillian children who are not village children, or just children who are in need that you're put in touch with? Or how does this work? How do you find these children?
Well, essentially what I've been doing is doing more training and case management support. So I've been, if you will, a bit of a training consultant and as well as a case consultant. So the two groups that I've been training this time have been the Oroville Child Protection Service, along with a number of teachers from various schools. And then this coming Saturday, I'm going out with the Village Action Group, and I'm going to be doing some training, which will be kind of fun because I'll be in English with a Tamil translator. And we'll do a full day training with the group from the Village Action Group. And so it's this particular time I was asked by CPS to focus on questions around child sexual abuse that can occur both within Oroville, amongst Orovillians, within the villages, amongst village families, but also one of the growing problems in India is the sex tourism trade as well.
Do you find that there's less of a problem around the Oroville area, or is it pretty universal, in fact, all over the world?
Well, child sexual abuse is all over the world, so I think that's sort of the first thing that we need to recognize, and it's hard for us to always come to grips with the reality that no community is immune from it. And so when we think of child sexual abuse, what we think of is that there are some communities that perhaps because of the nature of the community are going to be less vulnerable. Some communities will be more vulnerable, but all communities have a vulnerability. I think one of the things that is important is that child sexual abuse, in fact, a lot of child abuse, manages to exist because people don't talk about it. So one of the most powerful things we can do is not try to make child sexual abuse some great big highlight in the sense that a community is infected with it, but rather to simply acknowledge that child sexual abuse does occur in communities, and that if we are willing to talk about it, then the biggest thing that we give the victims of child sexual abuse is a place to talk about what has happened to them so that they're not walking around with the secret. Because secrecy is the greatest ally that child sexual abuse has. The unwillingness of family or the unwillingness of community or the incapacity of the child to be able to talk about what happened. This is why most children don't disclose, is because the opportunity to disclose or the fear or the shame or the guilt gets in the way. If, on the other hand, we create communities where people can talk about problems, then the child has the opportunity to come forward and say, I have something I want to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
I think that the other important thing about talking about it is that when we begin to connect to NGOs throughout India, what we begin to see is that this is a problem that is going on all over India. When we start to look at NGOs all over the world, we start to recognize that this problem exists all over the world. So we have a capacity to reach out to the NGOs here in India, to the NGOs elsewhere in the world, to learn from their experience about the kinds of things that work. A group of us went up to Chennai and met with the people from the Tulir Center, absolutely amazing two women who are running that center. And they shared with us some of the materials that they've started to use up there, which provides us an opportunity to see material that's been tried already in India. Mm-hmm. Interestingly enough, they also had new material that they were adapting that they had brought over from Canada. But it helps us to remember that the principles of child sexual abuse are universal. There are cultural aspects of it, and we have to adapt what we do to fit the particular circumstance. But we can learn from each other, and that's what we're doing.
Right. A question comes to mind. We're focusing on the victims. Is there anything that can happen for the perpetrators of this? For instance, I'm thinking the 12-step program, because this is obviously an addiction. There are adults that are into this sort of thing.
Well, I think we break the pedophile and the sexual abuser might actually belong to slightly different groupings. So there's a group of individuals where they're from family systems where child sexual abuse has gone on multi-generationally. So how we help those families is we get the families to start talking, we get the families to start asking, is this a way to nurture your child? Is this a way to have your child seek their fullness? In other words, if you think about the integral yoga, is this the way to be able to fulfill that yoga in your child? The pedophile is a bit of a different group, because the pedophile is an individual who has a sexual a proclivity to sex with children. They seek imagery. They seek opportunity to be with children. The Tulir group was telling us that, in fact, that India is becoming much more of a place for the pedophile, because other countries around the South Asian area have tightened up some of their entry regulations. And that they have seen that every case they have worked on has been somebody coming from the West to volunteer for an NGO to work with children, and that becomes the way in which they enter into the lives of children, and they groom the children. So we have to be vigilant about that. Remember that the pedophile is an infrequent individual in a community, but when that individual comes into the community, they're very dangerous. And so they need to be observed, they need to be identified, and they need to be responded to. The third thing, of course, is human trafficking. And so children are trafficked here in India into the sex trade. You read about this in the Hindu and Indian Times, and Tulir talks about it. Children are also being trafficked from India into the West. I think the important thing is human trafficking is occurring all over the world. So we see it in North America. I was at a conference earlier this year speaking with two women from Saudi Arabia who are seeing it occurring. We see it here in India. And so the other thing is that if we start to talk with families about what trafficking is about, then the families, it's harder to dupe the family if they understand that the person buying the child is buying the child for nefarious purposes. So educating families about what trafficking is about. Philippines has recently spoken about the concern that they have with international adoptions becoming a mechanism for child trafficking. And Tulir says that that's happening in India. And they also indicate that one of the emerging areas is for human trafficking is surrogacy. So they paying for somebody to become pregnant and then trafficking the infant immediately into other parts of the world. The big thing we have going for us, though, is conversation. If we talk to communities, if we talk to people, if we talk to NGOs, if we talk to people who are interested in this topic and might be willing to bring some resources to it, then at the same time we create an alliance of people who listen, who talk, and become then observant, which makes it harder for the trafficker. It makes it harder for the pedophile. It makes it harder for the sexual abuser. Sure. When communities are prepared to acknowledge the risk is there and they watch. So this isn't to make a community paranoid. This is to make a community knowledgeable.
Enlightened.
So again, I think it's very dangerous if you try to make a community paranoid, because that's not helpful. What's helpful is to recognize our job is to raise children so that they can, in the course of the integral yoga, fulfill their fullness, achieve what they are capable of achieving, and have a spiritual growth, and to be aware that there can be forces that are contrary to that, and we have to acknowledge those forces and then interfere with them.
What's the penalty for catching one of these creatures?
Well, law varies throughout the world.
Here in India, or let's start with Auroville.
Well, I think that Auroville is engaged in discussing that question. So one of the things that I think is important in Auroville is the preservation of family units, preservation of the family as a community. And so one of the things that we want to look at is if the offender is someone from within in Oroville, is that someone who is treatable? Can we do things to change this pattern? Can we work with that person? Can we do things that helps that person to reconnect with what Oroville is about? If the person is an outsider, a guest, for example, then that person probably has come to Oroville for nefarious reasons and ought not to be here. And so that becomes something the Child Protection Service on a case-by-case basis would need to consider, and what's the appropriate response. Is it to involve the police? Is it to involve the authorities for a guest who needs to be asked to leave? But certainly if a pedophile comes into Oroville, it's important that person be identified and that person be gotten out of Oroville.
How about this, Tulane? The people you're dealing with, you're working with in Chennai, what do they do?
The group in Chennai involves the police. They have developed a very effective relationship with the police in Chennai. It's taken them quite some time. They gave us an example that the police have now approached them to give a seminar to girls or some teaching to girls in one of the slums who are being exploited. And what was fascinating to them was the police officer was very aware of what exploitation was. Mm-hmm. So building relationships with the broad community so that you have an opportunity to respond mm-hmm. when these cases come and bring together resources. Mm-hmm. The network is what matters. So it's not so much that you have one or two people who are experts in the particular area. It is having a network of services that you can call upon that are going to be needed for that particular case. Mm-hmm. So it's the building of the network. Mm-hmm. And I think that here in Oroville, the Oroville Council, and remember, I'm a guest. I'm not an Orovillian. So the Oroville Council is so crucial because the Oroville Council is a group that I hear constantly is looked up to as providing guidance and leadership and willingness to talk about these kinds of issues. And so I think that's also important. Oroville Council helps to set the tone around some of this, I believe. Again, I speak as a guest and not as an Orovillian. And that's very important because my observations are that of somebody who visits here.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, so turning on the light in a dark room is what it's all about, isn't it?
Secrecy is the greatest ally that sexual abusers have because they work hard to keep the secret. Mm-hmm. And if we break the secrets, mm-hmm. we take away their biggest tool.
Thanks, Peter. Do you want to say anything in conclusion? I mean, you've given me a lot of rich material here.
Well, I think that what has fascinated me is I have met here in Oroville in terms of teachers, people from the Village Action Group, people from CPS, people who believe deeply in what the mother and Sri Aurobindo talked about in terms of the development of children. And so when we talk about these issues, I'm really impressed with, while they are keen to talk about these issues, they also do not want to lose sight of what the integral yoga was about and mm-hmm. what that means to the development of children. So that really is the focus. And then being able to deal with these forces that are contrary to it. But to stay focused on what the integral yoga was about, to stay focused on the development of the child, to stay focused on creating this human being who is going to fulfill who they are through an appropriate upbringing, as opposed to shifting the focus away from that and talking about the problems. The problems, what impressed me was, yes, we need to deal with the problems, but we must not lose sight of why Oroville exists, why we have children in Oroville, why the integral yoga matters to children. So that has really impressed me a lot. The other thing that has really impressed me is I met teachers from both Oroville schools and the Village schools who are quite prepared to talk about these issues. But at the same time, they too say, but we must not lose sight of why it is we're teaching. And that, you know, is magnificent in its beauty because in the West, we can get very focused on talking about what's wrong and we lose sight of what's right. Mm-hmm. And then I think it's better if we look at what's right and then deal with the forces that are contrary to what's right.
I definitely agree.
Yeah. So thank you.
Thank you, Peter.
Take care.